Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Podcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
I need a hug before we start. Do you mind?
I think we should have a hug right this minute.
How about a little prayer?
Oh, God. You're beautiful. You are just remarkable person. We're sitting here with Lance Raymond, and I'm the only one drinking the tequila, but I'm still doing it. It's News on the Rocks. Got to drink a little bit, right? I met you not that long ago.
You did.
At my beautiful cousin Carrie's house. And we kind of bonded right away because we talked about all kinds of things. Squishy things, tough things, addiction, because as anybody who has listened to the podcast knows, I have a beautiful son in recovery now for 3 years from a very serious opiate addiction. And so we sort of bonded talking about some of that. And then we had dinner because you brought some amazing crab cakes over, and we just had a really festive evening. And not more than, I don't know, a week later, Carrie called me and she said, would you be interested in doing a podcast with Lance? And I said, well, he's really cute, he's really funny and warm and wonderful, but what does he have to talk about? And that's when she introduced me to the fact that you are transgender. At first, I was like, wow, because that was not a read that I got. And I've known lots of people in all walks of life. And I thought it was like a really beautiful thing that I got to know you as Lance, because that's who you are. And that's who you've always been. Instead of saying, well, this used to be this woman who worked on Wall Street and did all of this stuff in this life and now has made the... I didn't have any of that garbage on my mind. All I saw was that gorgeous face and got to know this really fascinating person who's been through all kinds of... shared angst that we have been through together separately, addiction and things like that. And so I really loved it because that's how I define you, as who you really are, as opposed to someone I knew one way and then, or thought I might know one way and then was introduced to something completely different. So what is your take on that?
No, I love it because when people meet me now, it's either it's people that known me for a long time and haven't seen me, and then Lance now, and it's like a big change for them to get their head wrapped around.
Right.
Or someone who's known the tail end of when I was a female. My mm-hmm. name was Nancy, okay. named after my mom.
Aww.
And then going through the transition into becoming Lance. Mm-hmm. So that brings on a whole different, you know, who's with you, who's behind you, who's freaked out, who's uncomfortable, who's not going to be there, who's going to be there.
Or who wants to be kind, but just
and
struggles
or wants
with
to
it.
Be, who constantly needs, you know, sort of updates and conversations. And
yeah.
I try to be always empathetic and mindful of their mm-hmm. take, because if I have a friend, I care how you're feeling about it and mm-hmm. how it's affecting you, because everyone likes me a little differently. And then there's those like
That's
yourself.
That's a really beautiful thing.
Aww.
That you worry about other people.
Of course.
There's a sweetness to that.
No, of course. I've always been like that, where
yeah.
you kind of have to know your environment and know... You
Again,
know,
you're the same person you always were.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you're a gift, too, because now you get to appreciate me as Lance. And
yeah.
I can tell you about Lance's history,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have any visuals. You don't have any expectations. You accept me as the man in front of you.
Right.
And
really cute man.
Thanks. And we can flirt and have fun.
Right,
and
right.
it's good.
Yeah.
And that validates who I am
yeah.
and all my decisions, because this is who I am.
So I kind of would like to start at the beginning.
Of course.
Because most of the people that I have either known or read about knew there was something going on at a really young age. They didn't quite understand this body they'd been put into.
Right. Well, there was no language. There was no validation. There was no mirroring.
Right.
To say, this is who you are. Even though I was sort of screaming out, you know, at times, I don't want to wear that dress. Yeah. I don't want to be this. Dad, look at my biceps.
Yeah.
Why, you know, why am I getting girl toys? What am I going to do with all these dolls? That type of thing.
Right.
And then I heard a conversation. I probably was maybe 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was outside and we have a basketball hoop put up in the driveway. We all used to shoot hoops. My cousins were there and their older cousins, guy cousins.
Yeah.
I always loved when they come around because then I could play basketball with them. I have two sisters and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do what my brother was doing.
Right.
So anyway, so I heard my dad was just talking and I overheard him say he has one son and three daughters. And my heart broke.
Oh.
I was like, what is he talking about?
Wow.
Nobody sees me. Why doesn't anyone see me?
Because you saw you from the time you can remember.
Oh, my God. I used to pick my mother up in kindergarten, first grade, to be able to show my dad, look how strong
I am.
Look, she's mine. Look. Look, Dad.
And how did he react to that?
He just laughed. He called me Muscles.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that was my nickname. At least it wasn't Petunia, right?
Right.
It was Muscles. I was happy about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was always different, and they knew I was different. But as all those feelings weren't being validated,
right.
And they kept putting me in the female pile, I was given a puppy by cousins of mine, and it happened to be a girl puppy, and
mm-hmm.
they said, I can name it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Tex. And they're like, you can't name it Tex. That's a boy's
boy
Tex. But I didn't know boy, girl. And I couldn't figure out why they kept calling me and putting me in this box to call the girl. I just didn't understand it.
Right.
My mother would come home, like I remember my Christmas list, and the man at the store said, this is a little boy's Christmas list, and these are boy things on the list.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that's, you asked me what I wanted.
What did she say to that?
It was sad because she just didn't know. She knew I was different. I always had a bond with my mom. I knew she loved me unconditionally. I loved my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
How could you not? I loved my mom. She was great.
Yeah.
You know, worked hard for us, opened up her own beauty salon in 1950 when no woman did that, right? Supported the family along with my dad. But she loved me, so it was just like I had to just keep going with it because there was no further conversation, no further language.
Right.
There was no validating.
Right.
So when puberty hit, that's when I first died.
Yeah.
Because then, now all of a sudden, now I'm a girl.
Right.
And then the worst day after that was the month later when you got your period again. What are you kidding me?
Like, what? I thought this was
again?
A one time only.
What is up? What are you, twice? I got this twice?
Oh, guess what?
This is
every
coming again.
Days.
Now, mind you, I knew intellectually, I kept having to go in the girls' locker room, put the girls, and watching those films, what was going to happen to me. Do you think once I thought it was going to happen to me?
No.
I was like, I thought, like, well, this is going to happen. This is going to happen to you.
Wow. But, I mean, we're laughing.
It's
kind of cute.
It was funny, crazy.
But at the same time, it's kind of heart-wrenching because here's this person who can't identify.
Right, because now you look at me as the man I am.
Right, right.
Experiencing that.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it.
Oh,
how,
imagine.
How awful that was.
Taking your 12-year-old son and saying, hey, you're going to get your period.
Right. What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I went home and said, Ma, I think I have cancer. What's going on? She was so happy, crying, ecstatic. My sister made an announcement at the table.
Oh, great.
that I crossed the road into womanhood, and I thought I was going to die. I just wanted to take a fork and just, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this was a time when...
70s.
Yeah, the 70s.
Where are you
70s,
going with this?
Nobody's
Nowhere.
Talking about that stuff.
Where are you going with this? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Knew I was different, but all my internal struggle... I had a hard time, too, because we are, you know, devout Roman Catholics. You know, we had priests come over and bless the pool, bless the party, but, you know, always good friends.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother went to church all the time, and it was just like something that I just wanted to stay in alignment. I was like a good family member. My grandmother lived with us. She was like my favorite. She was 79 when I was born. Me and her were best friends.
Wow.
You know, and I just kind of wanted to be that person that was not going to sort of step out of...
Yeah, yeah. ice.
Step off the road.
So you and I are the same person because in many, many ways, and this is what really attracted me to your story is, you know, what's essential in life? And you learn as the years go by, the decades go by, that what is essential in life is being true to the essence of who you are.
Right.
And the essence of who you are isn't exactly this physical thing, although there's some tie to it.
Right.
It's just being true to this person.
Right.
And so many of us have grown up with this desire to just please, to make sure that everybody around us is happy and that we're good girls or good boys and we do what they want us to do. And that somehow that if you can do that, you're going to be happy because everyone around you will be happy. And it doesn't really work that way.
Right. Well, there's these oversimplified buckets that you filled into.
Right.
And now here we are in 2020 and we can't keep up. LGBTQ.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Right. And then we have people that are different. You know, our genders, you know, sometimes we're not born in the body that we're supposed to be
born into.
Right. And so our gender is not just identified by our physical parts.
Right.
It's our brains. It's our mind. It's our soul. It's who we are.
Yeah.
It's our essence. There's
exactly.
nothing closer than your gender marker than who identifies you. There's nothing closer than that. It's the first question, male, female.
Right.
You know, it's like right up there with what's your social security number.
You walk
male,
into
female.
A room, they look at you and wow,
there's
that's a good
looking
guy.
Right.
Look at his eyes.
Yeah.
He's a really, look at her. She's got big tits.
Right.
It's all It's such a weird thing that we do to one another. I think I've always been a big believer that the reason we have race problems, all of the kinds of things, because it's so much easier to make a snap judgment about what we see in front of us instead of taking the time to look inside and find the essence of that person. And the other stuff then falls away. Have you ever met somebody who you looked at and you thought, wow, that's really not an attractive person? And then you get to know them and they not only become attractive because of who they are emotionally, but they actually physically become attractive
to
you because you see the sparkle, you see the beauty in their soul expressed in the exterior. So that is a very kind of a similar thing that the essence of who you are now gets to sing.
Right.
And it didn't
And
before.
It took a lifetime to get here.
So, okay, so here you are. You're 12 years old.
Yeah, so that's,
period.
Yeah, so that's all, that's kind of like.
And then what happens?
Then you put it away and you put it in a box and you don't really acknowledge it. And you try to be.
Behave yourself.
Like you try to stay on this track and like check off the boxes. You're going to have to go to school. You're going to have to do this. I got married like 6 months before. And then
got married.
I got married. It didn't last very long. But I figured that's one of the boxes I had to check off, right? I'm a good Catholic person, right? So I have to do that. On the way to the honeymoon, I just cried the whole way because I knew I'm not supposed to be married.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be married. This is not supposed to be happening. And so the first time I got into recovery, I was only 19 or 20 because I was washing it away through all those years of adolescence and high school. And there's no way because once I found alcohol, I figured, that's how you deal with life.
Yeah, you just take the edge off.
That's how you do it. That's how I'm going to be able to stay in line, be what everybody needs me to be, not fall off track. I am going to do this, and then at least I can have some bit of a semblance to be able to function every day.
You know, it's funny. I shared this story, and I've shared it on other podcasts. I remember the first time I had an awakening about addiction, because I never had any addictive issues myself. Never smoked. I've never even tried marijuana. I've never taken any drugs. I do like to drink once in a while, of course, on the podcast, but not really to excess.
Right.
And I was at a Narcanon meeting with my son one rainy night down in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and all these beautiful young people standing up and sharing their story and weeping and laughing and all of this. And I went, holy shit. I just had like this awakening. I don't know. And I went and talked to one of the guys who'd been especially heartfelt in what he was talking about. And I said, you and I are the same person. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, I didn't think you were an addict. You didn't raise your hand. And I said, you know what? We're all looking to be soothed. Mm-hmm. We all soothe differently.
Absolutely.
We soothe through sex. We soothe through drugs. We through alcohol, food.
Shopping.
over exercise. Right. Whatever it is.
Right.
We're just trying to calm something.
Right.
And it sounds to me like that's where you were.
Yeah.
And the first thing you found was alcohol?
Yeah, the first thing I found. And I knew I found something magical because I found myself hiding it right away.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to hide this behind the tree in the front yard. That's like a perfect spot. Who's going to look in the front yard behind a tree?
Yeah.
So now I'm still having all these experiences. I'm not as aware as I am right now of putting all this story together. This is me speaking about it in retrospect.
Right.
But I remember my mother bringing us to like a place like Lohmann's. I don't know if you ever heard of Lohmann's,
sure, of
where they have an outlet mall.
Yep.
So before school or whatever, we go to Lohmann's. And I was like, oh, we got to go to Lohmann's. So anyway, the tragedy about Lohmann's was they have a big open dressing room.
Oh my God.
And it's so intimidating. And all these women, right, with size triple X bras are on there.
Right.
And me. Okay. Now I'm in this room looking around going, this is wrong. This is wrong. What am I going to do?
Oh, I'm going to naked chicks. This is wrong.
It feels wrong. I felt like I wasn't feeling like I can really gawk. I felt like it was wrong.
Right.
So
right.
I got myself.
Because you're also a good Catholic boy.
Right.
On the inside.
Right. Absolutely. I'm like, this is wrong. So I remove myself. I'm in the hall. And my mother's like, what's the matter with you? I go, I don't think I'm supposed to be in there. You know, and she's like, what are you talking about? We're all the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm supposed to be in there. You go. You guys could go change. Yeah. I'm not going in. Well, how are you going to know if it fits? I don't care if it fits or not.
Right, right.
I don't want to go in there.
Right.
So that was always a pit in my stomach that we were going to have to go to these big, wide open
Lohmann's
rest, you know, where people in my shoes would probably want to take advantage of that.
Right.
You know, all the way up to the last time before my change, I did, you know, go one last, you know, walk around the locker room, the women's locker room, before my surgery started. And I said, all right, one more look, see what we got going on in here. Because that's the only time I wanted to do it to, like, please myself for 2 seconds.
Right.
Because any other time I knew it was wrong.
You're
I was
such
like,
a guy.
So, you know, one more time. And nothing really, it wasn't great, but, you know,
right.
I just had to do it for myself just to see, just in case I had a story coming out
of it. It's like you're a spy.
Yeah.
For the other side.
That's right.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
Wow.
Right?
Now you're in the locker room. How old were you?
Oh, now I'm in the locker room. Oh, this is only, I've only been Lance for like 4 years.
So you lived your whole adult life.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Man, that takes.
As a gay woman.
You know,
it's like if you called me a lesbian, I was going to punch you in the head, though. Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't feel like that either. I'm like, oh, I'm not.
So
I got to fit somewhere. I have to go to a place where girls like me.
Right.
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 Why not go to a lesbian? Lesbians like lesbians. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Lesbian like girls. But
God, how confusing for you.
No, well, I was just trying to survive it.
Yeah,
so
no,
the,
I hear that.
Yeah, so the only way to navigate
I
the next step.
Hug.
I know. Like, all right, come here, stand up.
Come here, baby.
All right.
So wow. So you say you were briefly married, and you realized quickly that
I had a boyfriend after that who knew I was different.
Okay.
Right. We didn't know. We never knew it was going to explode into this. Now we really have fun stories to talk
Did
about.
Did you have a sense it was going to explode into this?
Well, this is what happened. I ended up back into the program in recovery again because I was studying martial arts over the years and I have a couple black belts. So I was just doing that and I wasn't really drinking or whatever. And then news hit where my mom had a brain tumor.
Oh,
all these things were happening at home.
Oh,
I was burning the candle at both sticks. I wasn't, you know, things were all of a sudden going to change.
Right.
And someone laced my pot with dust, let's just say.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'll just finish this bag and I won't get any more of that.
Yeah.
Well, who says that?
Yeah.
You know, you don't smoke the whole bag and think you're not going to get another one, right?
Right.
So
right.
Instead of saying, oh, no, I don't want this, I'll be like,
right.
All right, I'll just keep it and smoke the rest of this bag,
right.
You know, and then.
It's like me with potato chips.
Yeah, I'll just eat one. I'll just have this bag and that will be the end of it. So
yeah.
I found myself going to the city with a suit on and selling into Wall Street at this time.
Right.
And meeting my little friend and being high as a kite all day. Like on the train, Metro North, those have a one hitter, you know, hit the toilet and just blow it out at the same time the toilet was flushing, sit down in my seat, got my suit all ready to go, you know.
So at this point, are you presenting yourself as a woman?
Yeah.
So you're Wall Street. You were Wall Street.
I was selling into Wall Street.
Guy. Yeah. Wall Street woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fairness, I'm not trying to cut down anybody in the financial industry, right. but they tend to be a little bit masters of the universe
yeah.
about this deep,
right.
and how warm and welcoming would they have been?
They weren't, because as soon as they find,
totally.
You know, guys, you know, and I was a girl they weren't going to sleep with, so they didn't really, they only liked me so much, right?
Right. right.
So, and I was presenting the way that, you know what, you can hire me, but you're not going to see me in short skirts or pumps.
Right.
And I would tell that
or
in the interview.
Or push-up bras.
You know, I would say, listen, we're not, you know, if you're good with that, then you can hire me. Let's be straight about this.
Right, right. So to speak.
I did have long blondish hair.
Yeah.
I did look like, I'll show you what I looked like.
Okay.
If you want to see.
I do. I won't think it's you though. I know.
That's okay.
Because I really know you.
This is my sister. As my father says, now I take care of my dad. He's 93, World War II vet.
Aww,
and I take care of him.
Precious.
And he says to me, he's like, all right, I'm going to bed. He goes, your sister home too? I'm like, yeah, we're all good. Everybody's home. <You know>? Everybody's here. Good night, Dad. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's me.
Oh, God. Adorable. You know what? You're really lucky. Because you're like a beautiful woman and a beautiful guy.
Was.
Most of us don't even get one of those.
Two for one.
Yeah, I'll say.
What a sale. What a sale.
You could do whatever you want. That's very cool. So, okay, so you're working in the Wall Street world.
Yeah, yeah.
And you finally...
What, right.
Not that long ago.
I burnt out about, eight, you know, 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do it anymore. And as you mentioned,
yeah.
the older we get, the more we have to be true to ourselves.
Yeah,
so
man.
That's happening,
it's
too.
That's one of the best things about
absolutely,
getting older.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But what's happening, you can no longer squish it down. You can't drown it. You can't smoke it
oh,
out.
Oh, God.
You can't hide
it. You're speaking my
language.
You
can't do anything. You just become more and more yourself.
More of a pain in the ass to the people around you.
Right. Just more and more yourself.
That's
you don't
right.
know. You don't.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. You have to be yourself.
You have to be.
Else you're going to die. So it's like, pick one.
Thank you. You're going to die if you don't.
And, if you don't.
And the best part of that is the people who don't appreciate the essence of you will fall away.
Right.
And the people that do appreciate it will embrace you and say, I've been waiting for this.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, you come to a crossing point because it does get a little morbid, because all I did was I was around cemeteries all the time because I knew where I belonged when I was going to be dead. Where am I? Where do I fit? Where am
what
I belong?
What happens between now and then?
So happens is,
boy, yeah.
Long and short, and this is, I got sober again. I went back trying to save my best friend's life,
mm-hmm.
who was not doing okay, and his parents reached out to me,
right.
and I said, oh, I know where to bring you. I'll bring you to the program. Meanwhile, I'm smoking up in the parking lot, bringing him into meetings. I said, I'm not going in there sober. What are you, crazy? I'm not going, what are you, nuts? So I was bringing him around for months, right? I'm smoking in the back before we get in,
right.
and he goes, I don't think we're supposed to be doing that before we go inside, you? And I said, well, I said, you can't. I can. I'm doing this for you. This is about you, not
right.
me. So saving his life saved mine.
Yeah.
So months into this, I realized I couldn't stop if I wanted to.
Right.
So then it started for me where I began my journey, and being away with no substance in me, I began to really have to look in and how am I going to stay sober? How am I going to stay clean? How am I going to stay true? How is this going to possibly happen?
Stay true is the key. Be true to who you are and the essence of who you are, which is a beautiful thing.
It's hard, right? But
it's hard,
right?
But it's the most beautiful thing in the world,
right? I guess after the Brillo pad is, you know, it's not so. It doesn't feel so clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's the right thing because it's deep in my heart and my soul. I knew it was the right thing,
right?
But it took time, and I knew I had to end a relationship. I knew I had to do that. You know, I had to do all these starting over
your
again.
Business relationships,
all
as
of it
well.
Had to go. I had to kiss goodbye to all of that
God,
because you can't go through this in front
like a
of people.
Hero. How do you do that? And stay
it's horrible. It was so hard. It was so hard. It was just every day. You really have to just, you know, I'm a firm believer in God, and I have always had this relationship, a strong, strong, strong feeling. Mm-hmm. And when you practice that, and when you visualize that, and you ask for strength, you actually get it.
Yeah.
Right? And you're true to it, and I'm thankful at night, and I get it again in the morning.
Yeah, buddy, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right? And I get it. And over time, you get more and more and more. And then I knew I was going to have to face this, and you really can't go through the whole process until, you know, the next step you cannot take any longer in my shoes. I knew I couldn't take one more step as Nancy. Not one more step I had in me. I was done. She was done. I'm done. Good job.
She did her job.
You did your job. You brought me here.
Yeah.
No more from you, you know? And then take the heels off. Yeah, I wasn't big on heels. But
no, me either. Yeah. I'm still not.
Yeah.
And I'm only 5 feet tall. Go figure.
That's so funny.
Yeah, wow.
So that became my process. And you have to go to doctors for like 3 years to get the marker changed in your driver's license. So your male is marked. You get pulled over. You want to make sure. I mean, these are issues that people in the middle of their transition don't always go through the whole process, don't have validation from a doctor, and that helps you. I had to go to court. I had to go to I had to go in front of a judge and say who I am and write something. You know, you have to go through all that.
Yeah,
and be validated. And I have great doctors that would say, like, they almost wait, and it's like sort of masochistic or sadistic on their part. They almost wait where you're going to absolutely take your life like that next day if you don't do this, because they want to make sure you know it's not a costume
change. This is 100% where I'm going.
This is not a costume change.
This is who I am.
This is not Halloween. Tomorrow we're going back.
Right. The first time you really chose to step out as the beautiful guy you are, what did that feel like?
Oh my God. It was great. You know, when
energizing
when people like first saw me and never knew me before. I'm saying, "Oh, sorry, sir." And I was like,
cool,
that's me." You know, or excuse
me. Or you walk
me
in a men's locker room,
right? And you're first using your name, and they're like, "Lance." I'm like, "Oh shit, sorry." I'm just like distracted
not
because,
Nancy.
Right? You're not. I'm not responding to my name.
Yeah.
You know, right away. You know, that's immediately followed up by the men's room. You know, which is
it's so funny how many of us go there
horrifying.
Because it's such a simple thing, but it's so elemental to who we are.
That's
I gotta run in the ladies' room.
That's the worst. To me, that's the worst.
Yeah.
When I have to use the restroom, I can't stand it.
Is it still a little traumatizing?
Yeah, it's like it's just gross. It's just, you know, you don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to go in there.
Well,
I don't
men's rooms are kind of creepy.
Yeah, they are a little creepy.
Right.
Whatever. I'm a clean kind of guy.
Right.
So I just kind of walk in. I want to just go right to where I need to go and get the heck out of there.
Yeah. So what about family? What about brothers, sisters, parents?
Now, I think with my mom her brain tumor turned into Alzheimer's.
Oh, God.
So she had Alzheimer's the last 15 years.
Okay. So did you ever discuss any of this with her?
No. And that was like a tough, tough, tough thing for me because I wanted to be validated by her.
Right.
So I just sort of was connected with her on a spiritual sense.
You know you are.
And I was always connected with her. Yeah, absolutely. Like
she
when I see
you.
Her.
She knew the essence of you.
She knew.
It wasn't a topic of conversation, especially that generation.
Right.
But she knew.
Yeah, she knows me. We loved each other as that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else agrees in the family, but I felt like she knew me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love my sisters. I love my brother. I love my dad. They all are on their process with it because remember, they'd known me the longest and are both the most affected by it.
Right.
And we're a close family.
Mm-hmm.
So my sisters had to mourn the fact that
they lost a brother.
They lost a sister.
I mean a sister.
Yeah,
sorry.
They lost a sister and they gave a brother. You can't picture me.
I'm so focused on you as a guy.
Right. Well, that's good. You just keep the focus there.
I got to thank Carrie because to me, what a gift to know you first and foremost as this really cool guy.
I love it.
We went to Carrie's house for dinner and we decided to go to this incredible place. I don't remember the name of it. Red something or other. Red Lines, is that what it's called? And it's all these amazing classic cars. It's just an enormous place in, what town is
Fairfield.
That?
Fairfield.
Fairfield, Connecticut. And so we squished in the back seat.
So much fun.
And we were laughing and talking, and then we were walking through and looking at all these cars. Mm-hmm. I just loved our conversation. It was like just a connection right away.
Right.
With you.
Human.
And yeah, it was just a human connection right away. And I'm, not that I would have had a problem with it if she had told me ahead of time. I would have been, okay, that's cool. But I just love the fact that I 100% got to know you and love you as the person you actually are, which is this guy, you know? And I think that's a really...
I love that.
I love that,
that makes
too.
Me feel so good.
It's a gift.
It is a gift. It's a gift for me, and hopefully it'll be a gift to you, just, too.
So, sisters, brother...
They're all great. I know, you know, my brother is someone that he was very successful, great football player. Mm-hmm. I'd follow him all every game. He'd go mm-hmm. away the weekends. I was yeah. like, you know, his little, you know...
Yeah, fan.
Fan, biggest
yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
He doesn't really call me by my name. Yeah, he just kind of hems and haws around. Hey, you know,
how
like
you
they're still, hey, how are you? Or whatever, how's it going?
Yeah, we see each other often. Yeah, can't even call you sis or bro.
Right, he's, you know, so he's still, you know, in his transition with it. Mm-hmm. And then my sisters, you know, trip up, but they correct themselves.
I like that you said his transition with it. Because that makes it
absolutely.
It's a family.
It's
it is
totally,
a family event.
Of course.
And again, I go back to this, but I think it's really beautiful that you are... You have empathy for them
Absolutely.
And what they're going through.
Absolutely.
It says a lot about your family dynamic that there was enough love to deal with this kind of new thing that happened 50 years into your life.
Right.
Now, did they know before that at all?
Well, they had glimpses and they knew yeah. I was different. Now, I was put in my sister's room growing up. Mm-hmm. I went from my mother's room in the crib, right? And then my grandmother had her own room, my brother had his own room, and I was going in with my two sisters. I thought to myself, why that room?
Yeah.
Right?
There's why three of us in there. Why can't I be in the guy room?
Yeah. Why can't I be in, like, what's this about?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was, like, always listening to those two, like, talking, like, their mm-hmm. language, you know? Like, listen to a different language.
Do you feel like are there still any bumps to get over in your relationship with them, or is it just sort of an evolutionary process that you're comfortable with following?
I have to say, I guess I'm fortunate enough and blessed to know that I've lived long enough. Mm-hmm. So, like, going through this a lot younger, I'm sure there would have been more bumps like that, but I'm very conscientious of people and process and relationships
right,
and evolution
right.
and how they take time and, uh-huh. you know, and everybody's on their own sort of tracks of
right.
learning and adapting. So I'm really good about that kind of stuff.
So do you ever run into anybody that you dealt with in your work world, your finance world, who knew you as this hot-looking lesbian? Or that, so they thought. Do you ever run into them? And
I sort of dropped off the face a little bit with them for
right.
a while until I got my confidence back, and I'm
sure.
just starting to reach out to sort of people that I worked alongside with
mm-hmm.
and an old boss or whatever, but just right. very peripheral, not right. you're not too bad, and I gauge
and they
by them
what's
I gauge yeah
changed.
Because you know thank yeah. God for Facebook
right
so for not having to explain everything
right they can see it and
right.
process it however
right
transition
right and a lot of people who aren't comfortable, I just don't, it's okay, I don't push myself, it's okay, I just kind of eliminate.
God, when you're a really big person.
I don't know.
You really are. I mean, because a lot of people, I think, would feel, especially as long as it was for you living this life where you're trying to please everybody else, it's like as soon as you get to that point where you say enough, I'm gonna burst out of this, you sort of, a lot of people would be like, you know, militant about it, like, you know, you don't care about me, you don't like me the way I am, then screw you.
Right.
And you're not.
Right. And I don't even judge those who are
yeah.
because this is so difficult, Patty, and not everybody has the same
process. Yeah.
Not everybody has the same faith. Not everybody can get the same support. Not everyone's going to transition. And there's so many people that transition that are always going to sort of on the outside. It's maybe you don't know if they're a male or a female, so that in itself will bring on more ridicule and more problems,
more
where I can walk by and no one's gonna think that my history was such.
Right.
And I'm
right.
mindful of that. And I really care about the trans community. I've gone to groups, and they're pretty well hidden for a reason.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, a lot of people are struggling. I mean, the suicide rate with them is
it's huge.
It's like 50% of male transgender try to kill themselves. 50%.
Wow.
And then, you know, and then the trans female is like over 30%.
Wow.
And that's a lot, you know, have tried to commit suicide because I can see that, you know.
Yeah, because you just don't feel.
No. Why wouldn't you want to end your life?
Right.
You're not validated. You're see-through. Right. You're cellophane,
so
you know.
How are you so anchored? What do you think?
No, because I
know that you're still, we all are still growing and evolving.
Absolutely.
But you have a sense of joy about you. And that doesn't mean it's like, oh, this is easy and ha-ha. But it means that you are pursuing your evolution as a human being in a healthy way.
Right.
And is that partly religion? Is that partly just growing up in the kind of family that taught you something about self-care?
I think it's a combination of having parents love you unconditionally, but how I really stay grounded every day is, I always say religion is for people who are afraid to go to hell, and spirituality is for people who've seen it, right? Who've already been there, right?
Yeah,
I've already been there. I've died a few times along the way. I'm very happy right now that I have this chance to live my life, who I am.
Truthfully.
Aligned with my head, my mind, my body, my soul, you know, and I'm a, I believe in God and I stay connected. Mm-hmm. I open up my channel every day and I try to stay connected throughout the day. And then I thank God at night and I feel like I'm happy. And I've never been like this happy in my entire life.
I can see it. It's a, you know? it's a really
I don't look that great on paper right now.
Right? What do you do for a living? Because if you sort of wandered away from the money business.
Right now, someone gave me an opportunity for a sales position. It's in business development.
Okay.
And I'm connecting CIOs and getting appointments.
What's a CIO?
With, Chief Information Officer.
Okay.
You know, to be
I don't know much about
world. To be in front of our CEO, and you know, we're just trying to build. It's a small, well, it's not a small business. It just,
it's an evolving business.
It's an evolving business. It's a great business, and so far I have an opportunity there. But you know, I'm wide open for opportunities right now. So I really want to tap into a lot of you know, gifts that maybe I've been given that have been just sitting there.
Yeah.
Let's like polish them up and see what we got, you know?
Right. Well, this, your story is really incredibly inspirational. And I think that it really goes beyond, and you and I talked about this before, it goes beyond just the whole kind of transgender issue, because it really truly is about self-realization.
Oh, yeah.
And we all go through that.
Right.
Or should.
Right.
I would
right.
think.
Right.
You know, we all are constantly striving as we grow and as we grow up to really get in touch with who we are and be at peace with that and share that peace and that love and that joy with others. And your story is so exquisite in that way. That's a story that I think should be shared.
Thank you. And I think that also now when you walk around, it's really important that people just, you know, that saying, don't judge a book, but the more that you seek and the more you get to know people from their covers, the more that you're going to get back tenfold, you know, and just finding out who people are, you know, just beyond the label, beyond the surface is unbelievable. It's so fascinating.
It is it's a beautiful process.
It is a beautiful process.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I just have loved this conversation. I feel like I could have like 10 more with you and never stop the learning and the discovery, because it's a broader, larger, more beautiful story and issue that really sinks into all of us. You know, this physical pod that we've been put in.
That's right.
Even though it is in many ways defines us to the people around us, it is such a minute part of who we are. You're a hero to me.
You're a hero. Thank you
so much.
Not really. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.